Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now, there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. Do you have a verse 4 in your Bible? Yes or no? It skips to what? Verse 5. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been there in this condition for a long time, he asked him this question. Do you want to get well? Look to your neighbor and say, do you want to get well? Verse 7 says, sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Say, no more excuses. Jesus replied in verse 8, he says, get up. Look to your neighbor and say, get up. No, say it like you mean it. Get up. No, say it with attitude. Get up. That's it. That's my church I'm talking to. Get up. Pick up your mat and walk. And at once the man got up and he walked. That's a good scripture right there. Even when you go from 3 and you jump to 5. Whew, don't let me get started here already so soon. How come God couldn't, in his infinite wisdom by the Holy Spirit that have the writer pen this particular verse, but go from 3 to jump to 5? Because in some of the Bibles, it's not written in there that there was an angel that would come at a certain season. Correct? Now, the New International Version has it in there that at a certain time of the year, an angel would come and would come and stir the waters. All those that would get into the water first would be healed. Did God make a mistake? So how come the other writers didn't write about it? Things that make you go, I said, God, what are you skipping over in my life? He says, because I don't want you looking for the angel. I don't want you looking for a sound for healing. I don't want you looking for a sign that something's about to change. I just need you to know it's time for you to get up. It's just time for you to get up. You don't need to tell me when it's time for me to get. Just get up. Are you seeing this? Sometimes he's going to skip over the issue in your life just so that it make you take notice. Why am I being here so long? Well, the answer is in the question that he asked the man. Do you want to? Do you want to? So God didn't know, Jesus didn't know if the man wanted to be healed. How many of you look at scripture like I do? Jesus, you know he wanted to be healed. He was there amongst everybody else. I mean, you know, sometimes you can be around people that are in a bad situation and it makes yours look worse because there ain't that bad. This man was invalid. He couldn't move. He couldn't walk, but he was there. He was taken there. How many times do people take you in that place and leave you there? God says, I'm going to skip right over this whole thing that you've been taught for so many years that the only way you're going to get healed is if those waters are stirred. See, if you keep looking for a religious act to get you saved, you'll be there a long time. If you're looking for a religious activity to bring to you God, you will miss God in his infinite flesh. Do you understand? When he came in his flesh, he was showing you who his daddy is. Not was, but is. So Jesus was walking by. He sees him. He knew his condition. But the Holy Spirit didn't see fit to put it in the scriptures to get into the water. So I would read it with seeing it this way. He asked him, do you want to get well? But then he gives excuses. He gives excuses. So if God never said anything, Jesus comes to you and never tells you anything about the stirring of the waters, what if you've been putting your hope in for your healing, for your change? Have you been putting your hope in the things of this world? Or have you been putting your hope with him that's within? He addresses it, but then this is what the man does. He starts making excuses. When God starts to deal with you, don't make excuses. No more excuses. No more excuses. Like it's a secret. God, don't do it because I'm not ready. You don't think God knows when you're ready? How many of you, when you came into the kingdom of God, you were really ready? You weren't ready. You're never ready. That's when you know it's time. Are you ready for your breakthrough? I've been waiting. Let me ask you a question. I asked this last when I was talking about the meanness. Are you really ready to receive what God is about to give you? No, you're not. Because it's going to go against what your religious mind thinks. He's going to challenge you in the way you receive his blessings. That it'll get to the point that you'll make excuses why you're not ready. Well, I don't want to start no church. No. I'm not called to just not that ministry. We start making excuses. How many of you are willing to do whatever God says to do? Raise your hand. I wish I had a camera up here so you could see yourself up there. How many of you would do what God would tell you to do? You do it right away. Raise your hand. Yeah, okay, look. Yeah, the director of our children's ministry is like, I don't know. I didn't ask for this. I didn't pray for it. I didn't fast for this thing. It just fell upon my lap. So the question was, would you do what God asked you to do? And you're like, yeah, I'll do it. Okay, so every single one of you that raised your hand, you're going to be in children's ministry starting next week. Come on. Did you see? Let's ask the question again. How many of you would do what God would ask you to do? Look, no, watch this. If God told me I would do it, he did tell us. He did tell us. He told us to go and occupy the land. He says to help your neighbor when they're in need. If they're hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them drink. If they have no teacher in children's church, you fill it. It's in the Bible. You know, that's one of the hardest ministries to fill. You know which the most important ministry is? That one. You know why? The next generation, right? Everybody, because the parents don't really want to teach their children. They want the church to teach them. Did that hurt? I'm peeling the onion. Peeling the onion. Hey, just leave me alone because worship's real good. Go in the children's church. Children's church. Just go. Quit bugging me. Go. I can say this because I did that to my grandmother going to church. I did it to my mom going to church. I bothered them the whole time. I didn't know what was going on in church. But see, when I went to the church I was going to back then, they have children's church. Children's church was right next to your mama. Don't you move. I've never understood why when you're so mad and you're trying to keep quiet that you can speak without even opening your mouth. Come on now. All I had to do was just act that one time. Mama looked over at me and I was like, oh, I'm in trouble now. I started praying in tongues. I was 3 years old. But one of the hardest ministries to fill is usually the children's church. Calm down. I'm not trying to enroll you guys in it. But what I'm trying to do is to try to get you that we make excuses when God asks us to do something. What about the excuses that we make even when we're invited to something great? What do you draw your excuses from? Your past experiences. I was invited to go to a revival. I didn't want to go because of the past revivals that I was invited to weren't revivals. They were labeled revivals. Banner revival, you know, revival this. And the Spirit of God wasn't moving. So I didn't want to go. I believe that a revival happens by way of us being in line with God. It's not planned. It's never planned. You can pray for it. But every revival in history showed up. Caught them off guard. They weren't ready for it. You know how I know they weren't ready for it? Because they didn't build a stadium big enough for the revival. That's what I'm telling you. You're not always ready when you think that you're ready. You can be praying and fasting on your face, praying for an outpouring of God. But if you're not really prepared, he's still going to show up. Why? Because it's about his will. All he is asking, will you be obedient? Do you know what usually happens when God asks us something? We're just like this man at the pool. We can give excuses. Well, my husband don't really like going to church because y'all play music too loud. I've had this true story, true complaint, true. I don't like going because your pastor moves around too much. I'm struggling right now. Because I'm just like, God, I feel you. And then it's like fire that's in my bones. And it's like, oh, if I'm, you. You know how we get when we're so anxious, there's something good's about to happen? But I've had someone say, well, I'm not going to church because your pastor, when he's preaching, he moves around too much. You ain't there for God. You make an excuse why not to go to church. That's what's happening. You know, I'll give you my excuses why I didn't go to church. I don't want to get nobody offended. Just saying. I don't want to go to church today because it's raining outside. My only day off. You got no job, but it's your only day off. Okay. Woo! Lord, help me, Jesus. I heard this one. It's too far. It's just too far. You drive an hour commute just for work every day, but church is 30 minutes away. It's just too far. I ain't got no gas. I got nothing to wear. Church service is too long. I hate it when they speak in tongues. I don't understand it. The Bible says they don't speak in tongues because then if they don't have anybody interpreting, ain't nobody interpreting anything, and this is out of order. But they don't have the understanding that that's your prayer language as well. Oh, Lord. Oh, see, the angels are working because I'm going to deal with what's been going on in the region. What happens is we make excuses why not to be in the presence of God. Even when he comes to visit you. If Jesus himself comes walking into your home and asks you a question. Do you want to be made whole? Would you say yes or give excuses? We all say, yeah, I want to be made whole. Yes, I want to be healed. I want to be healed. What do you think he's going to ask you next? To do something impossible in your mind. When he asked the man that was crippled, that was laying there by the pool, he knew, the man knew, hey, I've been here 38 years. I've been in this situation a long time. I can't get up. What do you mean get up? I don't have no feet. Did you see what I mean? It wasn't about his faith that moved him. It was about his obedience that healed him. Oh, come on. I'm trying to tell you, it's not your faith that's going to make you whole. It's the obedience to what he says that brings about a miracle in your life. So no more excuses. I ain't making no excuses. Shoo. I told God, sharpen that knife. Just sharpen it. Cut through the layers. Let's just cut through all the layers. Watch this one. Turn with me to Luke 14. Luke 14. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? You remember when as you're looking, keep looking. Luke 14. Luke 14, find verse 16 and stop there. Do you remember when you had the Bibles that had those little tabs that you had to put the tabs on each one? Yeah. Look at it. You have the tabs, right? Remember we used to do that? We used to get our, and we didn't put that line right there so we could go and put them nice and even, nice and neat, right? I said, God, is that kind of like our life? We have tabs in our life to go back to experiences that we once had, to flip back and forth, to give excuses. Oh, I like it down here. Oh, I like it right here. Oh, do we make excuses and flip back on a tab of our life that brings back an experience that we once had to give more excuses why not to progress forward? Every part of our life has a tab. It has a tab. And if we don't use the right tab to get us to the right word, we're not going to advance. I can imagine Jesus coming into my house right now. Marty, I want you to do something. Yes, God, I'm ready. I want you to sell your house, and I want you to be homeless again. Ooh. Do like Michael Jackson, the moonwalk. So wait a minute. What excuse would we use then? Oh, but this is the house you blessed me with. Right? We'd be kind of real spiritual about it. But you blessed me with this house. How am I going to sell it? What is he asking? What is he addressing? He's addressing your heart. I know if he was to tell me that right now. Sell your house. Lord, I've been homeless once. I want to do it again. Get rid of everything you own. Ooh, I've just been rebuilding. Do what? Let me fast and pray first and see if this is true. But that's Jesus right standing in front of me telling me, I want you to do something that is out of your comfort zone so I can bless you beyond what you can even see, think, or imagine in your heart. It's going to cause you to do something by obedience that you'll see it come to pass. What is he addressing? He's telling you, who's got a brand new vehicle in here? Raise your hand. Brand new vehicle. Stand up. Did I see your hand, Michelle, back there? Did I see your hand? Us new, stand up. Who else? Is that it? Oh, stand up, mama. What you mean? Come on. All right. Brand new vehicle, right? Blessing of the Lord. Sell it. Wait a minute, is it you? Yes, it is. And you're wanting to? Lord. Sure, sew it. Okay. I'm just playing on the podcast. Calm down. Okay, a new vehicle. Here's what I want to share with you. It represents ministry. Represents ministry. A new vehicle always represents a new season in your life. Watch this. Now, if God was to tell you to sow it, give it away, would you do it? Hesitation. You're like, yeah, I would. You have another vehicle at home? Nothing. That's by faith. Amen. You're doing this now, so. But would you do it? Would you do it? Just sow it, give it away. Would you do it? Let's say it again. Got to find a way. Would you do it? What's your favorite vehicle? favorite vehicle of all time you would want to have? Tercel. I said, brother, can we talk for real, man? Come on, say it. Yes, you do. You have a dream car. All right, say Lamborghini. Huh. What say? Hey, what's up? Land Rover. All right, Land Rover. All right. You just got your brand new Land Rover. Had it 2 weeks. Jesus steps right into your space. Give it away. Would you do it? Are you hearing this? You're hearing this. He said, if he stepped right in front of me, yes. You just got yours. God says, sow it. Would you sow it? Yes? Well, you've already sold many cars already. Honest truth. Mom, you got a new car. Yeah, where's the other one? I gave it away. Now, you said the thing that I wanted to, you can sit down now. Thank you very much. You said the thing that I wanted to point out. If Jesus was to manifest in your life, you're more willing to do what he asked. Right? Oh, I know that's Jesus. I ain't got to fast and pray because you asking, I'm going to do. But it's never that easy. It's never that easy. We'll make excuses left and right because we're unsure if we truly heard God. Yeah, I don't know. I've been without a car for how long? Via? I don't know about no Via because, Uber, that costs money. Uber. I don't know, God. I don't know if I could do something like that. You know what? Let me get back to you. I don't know. Would you give up the very prized possession that you own right now? Think of it. I want you to picture that prized possession. And something, it may not be a thing, it's maybe a person. See, he asked that of Abraham. But you blessed me with my son. Matter of fact, you performed a miracle so I could get my son. And you're telling me to kill my son. Sacrifice. What did Abraham do? He obeyed. Up until the very point that the knife was coming out. Then the angel moved. See, God is not going to come through when you think it's still in your comfort zone. He's not going to move to bring a miracle of provision or anything else that you need until you're to the point where you're about to be so obedient that he's going to show up and says, I know your heart now. I know your heart. I know why you're doing what you're doing, because you're truly surrendering your heart to me. No more excuses. Jesus walked right up to him. Do you want to be made whole? Yes. But here comes the excuses. What comes out of your mouth? Life and death. Life and death. Yes, but I don't believe. I believe, but if they don't believe, it's not going to happen. They didn't get healed because they didn't have faith to believe. Now, I didn't see them get healed because they didn't have faith. Every scripture that I read about healing came to someone that just had enough. Enough. Have you been to that point where you just had enough? Let's go ahead and remove that. Remove it off. Yes. Every miracle in scripture came when the person had enough. I've had enough of this land being taken over by the enemy. I've had enough of the enemy wrecking havoc in marriages, in children's lives, wrecking havoc in churches, churches shutting down, seeing children just say no more to church. I don't want to go. There's no reason for me to go. That it got to the point that churches all over the place had to make it look more inviting for a younger generation, but the older generation doesn't like it. Well, who are we trying to reach? I told God, I want the people to experience you, regardless of what it looks like. He says, you want that? And I said this when we were back on 6565. He says, you really mean that? Yeah. Remember I told you guys? I wanted to change the whole look. I'm going to change the whole look. He says, no, you ain't. Okay. I'm going to take all the money so you don't. Oh, and he did. I'm going to bring in lights. I'm going to do this. Hey, let's go. We don't have no. Okay. I'm going to pray for offerings to come in so I can go get these things. Nope. He says, you're going to do things to make it appealing to people. Just have me there. Just have me there. Because when they come in and experience my presence, they can walk out knowing that there is a God in heaven that is here on their behalf. I asked, can I change the look? No. Well, you know what, God, I don't care what it looks like. You don't? You don't care what it looks like? Okay. Move. Into a gym. Is this you, God? Put my wife on blast, me as well. The first service we had, if you were here, you heard my wife begin to chat in her seat. Just to share, the Lord was right in her presence. She began to repent, as did I, sitting in the back, concerning what we thought should be the way it looked for the people. We started repenting. We were worried about how it looked. God says, why are you worried about how it looks if I'm here? Are you hearing what I'm saying? I said, Lord, but I want to display you in excellence. How many times we say that? Oh, Lord, but the kingdom of God is in excellence. I want to do everything in excellence for you. I want you to be very pleased. I'm pleased when you allow me to be me in my own house. Hey, God. Ooh, there went another layer. Ooh, let me move out the way. You're starting to hurt now. And then, I'm transparent. Oh, this is beautiful. But this pinging off of these walls drive me nuts. I said, Lord, something got changed. He goes, your heart. I'm celebrating. I really am celebrating. Lord, I'm celebrating that you brought us here. Quit complaining. Okay. Another layer. Let me do what I'm doing. You be obedient to do as I ask you to do it. Don't hesitate. Just do it. Ooh. So I ask you this. Will you do what he asked you to do? Or will you make excuses? No more excuses. No more excuses. Okay, now let's go to the Luke 14. Are we there? This is the parable of the great banquet. Luke 14. I want you to start at verse 16. It says, Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said, I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. And another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married. Oh, Lord. So I can't come. Lord, she's the boss. See, mama don't want to go. We ain't going, God. Sorry. So the servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets, into the alleys of the town, and bring the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Ooh, please hear this, please hear this. We're about to see that here. We're about to bring from the south side, the west side, the east side, and downtown. We're about to bring those into this neighborhood that no one wanted to reach out into the city and grab. But God is saying, I'm sending them to this house. Oh, listen here. I feel a preach coming on. I'm telling you what is happening. And we got so comfortable in our surroundings. We don't need that element around us. But God's saying, go and get them, for everything is ready now. Well, you should be shouting right there. This is about people that need the hope of glory. They need some sort of hope in their life. They need someone that can say, you don't need to be on drugs no more. You don't need to be prostituting no more. You don't need to be an alcoholic. You don't need to be out there pimping. Ooh, don't go alone. I understood when we were in 6565 when some drunk folks come in. And I looked at my church. My church didn't know how to handle them. Telling on y'all for real. I went into my office. I said, oh, Lord, we ain't ready. And I had already prophesied that the animals were coming. A week later, they came. How did the church react? Oh. Brother, you like a mint? Sister, what's up with you? What? I got drunk off of the man when he came in. He was drunk. Why are you slurring your words? We didn't impact that person. They impacted us. Pastor, we didn't know what to do. We had to sit down. We didn't know what happened. Stand up. I had bodyguards standing all right there around him. I was like, come on, church. Pastor, we're ready to do outreach in the street. No, you ain't. God sent them to the church. Oh. Don't touch. You know, we have all those fans, you know. Really. We weren't ready. Also, I said, oh, Lord, we ain't going to this again. It's time for outreach to start, and let's get these people ready for what's to come. So we start doing outreach. Guess where he sends us? To go feed the homeless. He goes out. He says, okay, now I want you to go to the courts. Go to the housing district, and I want you to go and minister over there. You may not see the fruit, but I want to see how obedient you are. You may not have the multitude, but are you willing to do just for the little? We have baptism out at the Alazan courts. And the daughter right there, stand up, Cherie. Our outreach coordinator did baptism out at the projects and got people, whew, baptized. If the church is not welcoming to those that are outside, then there's something wrong going on inside. So I said, God, let us be that place that you called us to be. Let us be ready. Let us not make excuses anymore. When I started reading this, I started getting very excited. Watch this. Verse 22. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of these who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. Ooh, when I read that, those that think they're the well-to-do, that they're in a good place. I go to church. I read my Bible. I even give my tithe. But don't ask me to go out and talk to some folk that don't know how to shower, that don't know how to speak, that are on drugs, that are crippled, or whatever the case may be. Then my question to you is, what are you doing in the kingdom of God than not bringing more into the banquet to come and taste and see that the Lord is good? But you've only come to take what the Lord has given, but you're not giving it back out. Oh, I wish I had a church in here. Because I believe that God is saying, I've already prepared the banquet. I have everything ready. I just needed someone that would be in position. If they would say yes, they were welcome to come and eat of the goodness that I have for them. But I want my house filled. That's what the Lord is saying. He gives this description. I know there's a lot of theologians in here, but hold up now. Let me preach my message, not yours. The parable sets great spiritual facts here. Watch this. God has provided the feast where mankind is invited to eat and drink of the bread and water of life. That not everyone who is invited will accept the invitation. And men will make excuses rather than face the main issues. No more excuses. No more excuses. The excuses is so old. It started back in Genesis. Adam cried out that he was lonely. Jesus looked upon him. Adam is lonely. Let me put him to sleep. And I'll take from him a rib and make a woman. Right? So Adam is formed of the dirt, but woman was formed of a rib. And even in today's society, we have people that say that women can't preach. Shut your mouth. More women have more insight than some of these men that grace the pulpits because they trust God. They seek God. You'll go to many churches, you'll see more women in church than you'll see men. Put the man to sleep. I believe he had to. I really believe he had to put Adam to sleep. Because you're going to take anything from me, if you're going to reach through the layers, I've got to be asleep. Because it hurts. Because some of the things that really need to come from me to make me a better me, I don't even realize are in me. But it comes from within me. You understand? So when Adam wakes and he has this beautiful woman, oh, Eve, this is Eve, this is my blessing. And then even Eve is there with Adam, so, oh, you one fine man. You're my Adam. Now watch this. Now temptation comes in. Then here comes the excuses. That woman that thou hast given me did this. Excuses. No, Adam, you should have watched her. Okay? And then Eve, what does Eve say? Oh, this serpent. The serpent. Blame shifting. How many times in your life have we blame shifted not to do the things that we were supposed to do? And we gave an excuse for not doing it. Right? No more excuses. No more excuses. So that means if you have a sailor's mouth, or that means that you have a tendency to say the colorful words, shut it. I ain't getting no amens. I just heard laughs. So I'm like, oh. Praise the Lord. No more excuses for some of the teenagers in here that are sitting here. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Next time you don't want to listen to mama or listen to daddy, no more excuses. No more excuses. Husband, obey your wife. Wife, obey your husband. More importantly, obey God. Obey God. No more excuses. Well, you know, I got out of work late, and I just, you know, you go to church. Woman, get in this car. Just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. Look at y'all like. Y'all are so y'all like, oh, Pastor Inez, you let him talk to you that way? Shoo. Lord, this woman you gave me. Bless her, Lord. Bless her. The Bible says when you find a woman, you find a good thing. That's a clear indication she was lost. Lost without you. Could you complete me? You complete me. Listen. Okay, I'm getting off track. Get back. Oh, Lord. Okay, look. So we make excuses from way back. We use the tabs in our Bibles to go back into our life to the excuses based on an experience in our life. And we always go back to that experience and bring it into our now. So we got to lose the tabs of our past. We got to, what do you call that when you delete, cancel. Cancel, alt, delete when you can wipe everything off, start over. The problem is we keep those tabs so that we can go back. You remember back in 1988? You were supposed to be home at 9, but you didn't get home till 9:30. Where were you? Trivial, but the tabs. Quit keeping tabs on others and keep tabs on God. Amen? No more excuses. Reasons for accepting the invitation is because all things are ready now. The blessing of the Lord is now. Do you need forgiveness? It's ready right now. Do you need healing? It's ready right now. Do you need peace in your life? It's ready. Do you need joy in your life? It's right now. Is it tomorrow? It's now. Faith is now, therefore. What is faith? Now. That means that what you believe and what you pray for is now. Now. Everything that you have inside of you is for your blessing. Everything. I used Adam and Eve as an indication that for you to see as an illustration, is that what you need for you is inside of you. You just have to learn how to draw from it. Do you understand? He was lonely. His companion came from within. Okay? He needed a helpmate. Where does his companion come from? From within. Do you understand that everything that you need is already inside of you? You draw on him. No more excuses. But you don't understand what I go through. I don't need to understand. He already knows. So quit trying to tell everybody else that they don't understand when it's not for you to understand about their problem. It's for them to get understanding that God is there working with them on their behalf that they can overcome. They just have to draw on him. Amen? How many of you receive a lot of people calling you or talking to you and they just want to dump on you? Come on. You get it. They do. They call you. But Sister So-and-so, I need to talk to you because you don't know what happened the other day. And then they just dump on you. They just keep dumping on you. Like, well, hold up. I done thrown out the trash already. I don't need you to come put more. Some of the stuff that I'm dealing with is because of your stuff. No, we don't say that. That's not Christ-like. Oh, excuse me. Cancel, delete. Because we get people that come into our life, they just dump. Stop. Tell me, you know what, if you don't want to deal with it, if you don't want to get through the layers, you're going to keep being in the mess that you're in. What you need to do is draw on what's in the inside. Let me ask you, do you know Jesus? I'm an elder of the church. Let me ask you, do you know Jesus? Hypothetical. Looking at elders over here, hey. Hypothetical. Hospitality coordinator, do you know Jesus? Then draw on that strength that's within. Amen. Right, children's director. Draw on them. Amen. That's what you tell them. Draw on what's in the inside of you. Because your greatest blessing is what's inside of you. What is that blessing? Him. The hope of glory. Christ Jesus himself. His spirit that dwells inside of you. The problem is we get so caught up with the outward things that we don't know how to look inwardly to our strength. It's him. No more excuses. Right? No more excuses? No more excuses. Thank you, Jesus. Now watch this. This is what I love about this. That he invites all classes of people to come because the ones that he originally invited made excuses. But I like it. I like what the excuses that they made. That's beautiful. The first one says, I bought property and I must go see to it. Well, where do you think your blessing came from? I asked you about your car for a reason. When I got my car, I said, Lord, I got my closet. Ooh-wee, I got my car. I prayed in my car. I prayed in my truck. I had the Holy Ghost encounters. True story, I'd be driving down the highway. I worked 45 minutes away. I would drive in my truck, put my worship on, and I would just get lost. Sometimes I wouldn't even know how I got to work. Be crying, just shaking. You get lost, right? So then when it was taken, I lost it. Repo. My fault. Nobody else. It's mine. I forgot you took my closet. My encounters that I would have. You took that, God. He says, it's not the truck. It was me because you had a heart of thanksgiving unto me. And you continue to find me in that place that I blessed you. I continue to meet you in that place because your heart was always grateful towards me. So I said, God, wait a minute. I can find you right here. And I started to learn some things about God. When he blesses you, that's a place of gratitude. Get there. Give him gratitude. Love on him for it. This is what happened. I have some property I must go and tend to. What if God bless you with a brand new house? Brand new house. You've been asking for the four-bedroom house, one room for each of the children, and one master bedroom with an ensuite, and you got it. Oh, but God, I don't want to go to church today because, you know, today I was going to do all of the curtains in here, and I was going to do this. We make excuses. Make excuses. There was a blessing right there, but they made an excuse. And here's the other one. I have something else to do. When God invites you to go and do something in his banquet, he wants to bless you. Oh, but I have something else to do. No, thank you. I'm good. In other words, what we're saying is that I don't need to receive what you have for me because what I have is better than what you're going to give me. That's what's being said here. So then, okay, the third one, watch this. It says, I have something else to enjoy. Something else to enjoy. Don't get me wrong. I love football and I love my barbecue. I love the time that I can spend as I'm watching on Sundays my football. And he asked my wife, football season starts. She goes, oh, great. When we get home, TV's on, you're asleep, but you won't let me change it. I'm watching that. I was watching it. And you fall back asleep. But for me, that was my getaway. Or barbecuing. Some music playing, like the OJ's playing on the back. Hey. Hey. I love my music. I know OJs are not spiritual. I know. Just saying, just love my music. You can judge me all you want, but you ain't the judge. He is. He dances with me. He does. And the other day, Lord, I don't want to get too open. Not today. Not too open. Not too open. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ooh, almost went there, y'all. So we almost went there. The Gap band was playing, and then, you know, I was just out there. I had the barbecue pickle. Oh, you know, back in the day, you used to be able to move. Hey, oh, ooh, ooh. And then it's funny how you kind of mix in your dance moves with the Hebrew hop. Hey, you know, you just Lord, what am I doing? I'm trying to enjoy myself. And he says, yeah, you're in a place of happiness. I'm with you. See, when I barbecue, my dog is right there looking at me like, I'm going to get something today. Something's about to be given to me off of that pit. That sacrifice that you're doing, I'm about to taste and see that you are good to me. You see, but if you know God's going to give you something good, won't you be next to him? If you know he's going to ask something that is not just for you to do, but it's for your gain, won't you do it? So I was outside just enjoying myself by myself. My mom, just, mama's at the coast. I'm over here just barbecuing. Good old time. Yeah. Good time. It was Monday. My wife left. She went out of town. Make dinner for y'all. Yeah, I was barbecuing. Yeah, it was Monday. Monday night football didn't even come on. A little salty, but it's all right. The meal was good, wasn't it? It was good. Nice presentation. Yeah. Did you have to cook anything? No, but you came and you ate. You enjoyed, right? You have to lift a finger, do anything. Just enjoy, right? That's what God is saying. I've prepared everything for you. Just come and eat. Come and just recline with me. Come and be in my presence. Come and rejoice. Don't make excuses why you can't be there. Just get there. Just get there. You know, if I'm preparing something, you know you're going to get a little something anyhow. And you know, if I'm cooking something or make a sacrifice, you're going to get a little bit. If my dog already knows that when I pick up a certain pan or I pick up the tongs getting ready to go outside, his tail is wagging 100 miles an hour. He's at the door waiting for me. Come on, Pastor. Come on. I know you got something good for me. If the dog can be ready to receive, how come we can't be ready to receive? If the dog knows there's a certain thing that he does before I get my blessing, I will be patient and I will wait. I will wag my tail when he looks at me. But when he look away, I'm like, hurry up and cook, dang it. Hurry up and cook. Put that thing on full blast and cook that thing. That's how we get. We see God moving like, oh, yeah, God, you're about to do some. You need to hurry up, though. You got to hurry up. Church only supposed to be about an hour. I didn't bring my tithe today, but you got to bless me. God says, you know what? I don't care. Come in. Come in, and I'll bless you. He gives a parable about those that were working in the field the longest time. They still got paid the same amount as the one that just came in at the end, and they got all paid the same. Why? Because God is a God of a giving God. Regardless of what your talents are, he's going to bless you. He's going to keep you, and he wants to bless you with everything he's preparing. Let's be ready with no excuse. No excuse. Lord, I know. I'm going to be like my little dog. He's ooh, something good's coming. Something good. Baby, get me to church real early today. Real early. Why you get there so early? Because I spend time with Jesus. You don't know how to get in my office now. Well, thank God I got my office. I got my office today. Had a meeting with someone that don't even attend our church. I need to meet with you, Pastor. Okay. Amen. Come to my office. I got an office here. Come to my office. Ooh, this is nice. It is, right? It's so nice, right? God bless me. If you got some time, let me show you around. Let me show you. I can do it in my own place. I can use them. I'm not a plane, but I can use them. See, this is the fellowship hall right here. When we lobby here. There are people that come and congregate afterwards. The gym over here is where we meet on Sunday. I did the whole tour and everything. That is my own. The administrative assistant was walking. Hey, Kathy, how are you? Hey, Dr. Marty, how are you? I was like, my assistant. Take ownership. The daycare director looking at me. Hey, Dr. Marty. Hey, it's been nice to you today. Hey, hallelujah. God bless you. How you doing? You doing good? Thank you. Good. The man looking at me, he says, you know everybody? I don't know my name, but hey, God bless you. I'm getting to know them. I'm showing them all the upstairs and everything. Oh, and this staircase comes down this way, and it comes down the other side over here. And then this one, when you come over here, when we meet here, and we're going to have a prophetic class here, and then we're going to have to peel back the onion over here on this side, and then we're going to have our women's conference over here, and then we're going to, what is that room? The kids, when my teenagers are gone, I pray that they would have a place that they would feel comfortable. And God bless me. He goes, you have all these rooms? Like it's my own. He says, you got blessed like that? I said, I got blessed like that. All I gotta do is schedule with Kathy, the administrative assistant, that organizes everything. And we can use whatever we want. He says, well, what's going on? I said, we have 9 different ministries that meet here. 4 different churches that have services here. He said, yeah. He says, that's amazing. I said, you know what's even more amazing? They're all different denominations. That we're in one place seeking the same God. Beautiful. I said, this is the kingdom of heaven. When we can congregate together, regardless of your social status, regardless of your economic status, we can come together, partake of the banquet, and taste and see that the goodness of the Lord has been prepared for you. I said, I ain't making no excuses. Sat there and talked to the man for testimony, he shared his testimony. He's crying, I'm crying. We go do. 2 men crying for the goodness of God. The goodness of God. I said, God, you're so amazing. I said, Lord, if there's even somebody from my church or somebody in this building, that's from someone from across the church, I'll meet you. Lord, you're so beautiful that you can knit people together, not by what they know, how much they know, what they have or what they don't have, but by the heart and by the spirit after the same God. I said, thank you, God. Thank you for another covenant relationship being established. I said, you see, if I invited you and you didn't want to come based on your excuses because it's a gym, you would have missed out on what I really have in store for you. No more excuses. If you're standing your feet, get ready to close. I know we have offerings to do, but just stand. You can stop recording.